is the Game Misconduct Podcast with Don LaGreca.
And welcome to the Tuesday edition of Game Misconduct. I am Don LaGreca. It boils down to this. Game 6, Western Conference Final tonight, 8 o'clock Eastern Time. A Blues win. They go to the final for the first time since 1970. A Sharks win forces a Game 7. Good news for the Sharks. They're 4-0 facing elimination. They were down 3-1 to Vegas in the first round. Won games 5, 6, and 7 to advance. They faced elimination in game 7 against the Avalanche. Won that game. And now they will face elimination for the fifth time. But the problem is, Erik Karlsson, out. Tomas Hertl, out. Pavelski's going to be a game-time decision, likely out. That's just too much to overcome, you would think. Now, this Sharks team has shown a lot of fight. You just can't put the blanket over their head. They just refuse to die. And that's a memo that I would give the St. Louis Blues. Don't mess with the Sharks. Win the game tonight. End it. And then you get yourself some rest, right? Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. You get yourself 5 days of rest as opposed to the 10 days rest that the Bruins have. Maybe even it out just a little bit rather than having to go to San Jose for a game 7 on Thursday and then face elimination yourself. So try to kill this team off. Now, I don't know what the status of those three players would be for a game 7. But clearly with a couple of days, maybe they can find themselves to get back into the lineup and be a little bit better off in game 7 than they are in game 6. So don't mess with it. Just finish it off and end it. And the Blues are going to try to accomplish something they haven't done, as I mentioned, since 1970. And if you don't know the history, back in 1967-68, the league expanded from 6 teams to 12. And the idea at the time, Clarence Campbell was the then president of the National Hockey League, decided to put all the expansion teams in one conference. So St. Louis, along with Los Angeles and the California Golden Seals, Pittsburgh Penguins, Philadelphia Flyers, Minnesota North Stars, all in the same conference, which guaranteed an expansion team to make it to the Stanley Cup Final. But the Blues, led by Scotty Bowman, were better than everybody else, so 3 straight years they went to the Cup Final, 68, 69, and 70. Got swept all 3 times. So they're 0-12 in the Stanley Cup Final. And, of course, 1970, they were eliminated by the Boston Bruins in overtime in Game 4 with Bobby Orr flying through the air, one of the most iconic hockey pictures, if not sports pictures, of all time. That's the last time the Blues have made it, all right? So it kind of doesn't count. It counts, but an expansion team was going to go, give them credit for being the best team. The first year, they were under 500 when they went to the Stanley Cup Final. In 69 and 70, they were about 10 games over, so they were a legit team. I don't know if they were legit as far as being the best team in the NHL or the second best team in the NHL, but the format certainly favored them. Since then, this is their fourth appearance in the conference final. 86 was the closest they came to go back to a Stanley Cup Final, 16 years after the Bobby Orr game. They lost in 7 games to Calgary in 1986. Did not go back to the conference final again until 2001 when they lost in 5 games to the Avalanche. Then went back a couple of years ago in 2016, lost in 6 games to these very same San Jose Sharks. So this is the closest they've been to a Stanley Cup final, 1 win away, since that 86 team. So that's going back 33 years ago, and they're trying to get back there for the first time in 49 years. So more power to the St. Louis Blues. This will be a very, very special story, but they've got to take advantage of the plight of the San Jose Sharks here because they don't want to leave that door open. The Sharks team has kicked it down. We've seen Martin Jones get hot before. They still have Logan Couture, who took over that series against Vegas, if you remember. He's been the best goal scorer in the postseason so far. So you just don't want to leave that door open. You don't want to have to face a game 7. You can clinch it in front of your fans, your appreciative fans, lift up that Campbell Cup for the first time ever, because it wasn't that back when they went to the Stanley Cup Final in 1970, and have yourself a ball getting ready for Monday's Stanley Cup Final in Boston against the Bruins. Now, if you're the Sharks, it's interesting they're in the position that they're in, because we can talk all we want about, oh, poor San Jose, so banged up. But look at the breaks they got to get here. So things kind of balance themselves out. Now, I'm not saying this is some sort of a godsmack by the league gods, but it's just interesting, as banged up as they are, that they did get the breaks that they got. And now, when they're facing elimination, they don't have all their ducks in a row. But they've overcome it before. We'll see if they can do it again. This game will be on Westwood One at 7:45 Eastern Time. I'll have the pregame show. I'll have the intermissions in the post. So if you want to listen to that, you can go to SiriusXM Channel 91. You can look for it at westwoodone.com. So I'll be hosting the game six, and it will be Dave Gosher, Darren Pang, and Steve Goldstein, who will be handling the festivities from St. Louis tonight as the Blues try to advance and the Sharks try to survive. Didn't bring this up yesterday with EJ at all, but I think it's something worth talking about as far as Erik Karlsson is concerned. Might be playing his last game as a Shark. Who knows what's going to happen to him in free agency. But I just wonder if you're someone that wants Erik Karlsson, if you're a team out there that wants to sign him to a long-term contract, would you be concerned at all that this is the second time that he has been involved in a run? Back, if you remember, in 2017, he was on the Senators who went to Game 7 of the Conference Final, losing in overtime to the Pittsburgh Penguins. And Karlsson, by the time they got to that Game 7, was literally on one leg. I mean, he just barely could play. And now he's been banged up for a good portion of this season. Didn't score a goal from late December until, you know, early in this series in the Conference Final. And now he's banged up again and now not playing in the most important game the Sharks have on the table. And I'm not saying that he's faking the injury. That's not where I'm going here. I'm not saying that he's weak. I'm not saying that he should be out there. I'm not saying that at all. What I'm suggesting is, would it concern you to invest long term into a guy that does seem to get banged up? And in some of the most important games for his team, he just doesn't have anything left. Does he have the stamina to be involved in a team that's going to make a run? Now, we've only got the two examples, 2017 with Ottawa and then here with San Jose. But I guess it's just worth noting to file away in the con territory. If you're thinking about signing Erik Karlsson, I would think that a team that signs him is thinking about signing him for a cup run. And you have to ask yourself, does he have the body at this stage to be able to handle an 82-game season and the 20-plus games it would take for you to be able to win a Stanley Cup? Now, I think he can. I would still sign him, but I'm just wondering if something that a general manager or president around the National Hockey League will file away and say, do I want to invest long-term in this guy, and I'm not going to know that when we get to the promised land if he's going to be 100%. Now, everybody's banged up, I get it, and it happens, but it's a lot to invest, and the two times, I just wonder about that Ottawa team, right? I mean, it's laughable now because they've turned out over the last couple of years to be one of the worst teams in the league, were the worst team in the league this past year, but they were within a whisker. They score in overtime in that Game 7. They're going to the Stanley Cup Final in 2017 to take on the Nashville Predators. I mean, that's how close they came, but it was just, it was beat up, you know, and I just wonder, you know, whether it's his style or whatever. You know, I need my best players to be not only my best players, but as close to healthy as humanly possible. So just kind of a thought, kind of a seed to plant. And I hope that it's not any kind of long-term thing for him. But it does really, to put it frankly, it does suck that the Sharks are in this important situation and possibly three of their best players are not going to be in the lineup. But again, Pavelski's going to be a game-time decision. Karlsson and Hedl ruled out for the Game 6 tonight in St. Louis. All right, let's hear from you at Don LaGreca, hashtag Game Misconduct. Chris starts it off by saying, hi, Don, regarding your Mount Rushmore of announcers, what about legendary Flyer play-by-play Gene Hart, and did you ever get a chance to meet him before his retirement? I know I did not. I mean, it's great going to Philadelphia, Wells Fargo Center. If you go up to the press box, they've got a shrine, basically, to him. And, of course, Lauren, his daughter, singing the Star-Spangled Banner all the time before games. So, believe me, his presence is in that building. I did not get a chance to meet him. Only heard him sparingly, but he definitely deserves to be in that territory. Dan Kelly, who was brought up by EJ yesterday, I kind of missed the boat from him calling national games. But, of course, his son does a great job with the Blues, and he did a great job before his passing. So there are quite a few names that belong on there, but Gene Hart certainly would have to be somebody to consider for sure. Rich Leach Jr. says, would the NHL ever implement a rule strictly for the playoffs and not for the regular season, such as a review of hand pass, thus not slowing down games in regular season, but also not missing such a pivotal goal? Love the show, and hashtag Rangers for Kako, who's just tearing it up right now in the World Championships for sure. And seems like a lot of Ranger fans are settled into the Devils taking U's and Kako going second. Boy, I think a lot of Ranger fans would be disappointed at this point if the Devils ended up taking the winger, although I don't think anybody would ever use the phrase settling for Hughes if the Rangers had to go there. No, I think you want to try to stay with the consistency. I think whatever rule you would implement in the postseason could still work in the regular season, so I don't think they would take that into consideration. I think if they make the change, it would be for both the regular season and the postseason. Tony says, Don, I want to echo your congrats to Doc on his Emmy win. Of course, he won an Emmy for best play-by-play last night, and he's money. Doc is the best. The fact he's won it 6 years in a row against such play-by-play men in all major sports is a testament to his greatness. I hope he keeps it for a long while. I think Doc's the best. You guys know that I'm biased. I've known Doc for a long, long time. So I think he's well deserving of that Emmy and definitely deserves to be on that Mount Rushmore for sure. I owe apologies to Tommy P Sports, because I did mention that he has now become friends with Courtney and they met through Game Misconduct, which I'm very, very proud of. But when I said it on the Michael K show, I called him Joe. So I do apologize for that, Tom. It's Tom and Courtney, and apparently they're just friends now. But friends, I guess you could say, with potential. So we'll see where it goes. But guys, do keep me abreast of what's happening there. But Tom also wants to know, why isn't the IIHF Worlds as popular as the Olympics? I love seeing players represent their countries. I just think it's bad timing for the Worlds. You know, it happens during the same time as the playoffs. It's always exclusive overseas, so the timing isn't perfect for sure. It doesn't have the moniker of the Olympics, so it doesn't have the same reputation. It doesn't have the best players on it, because many of those same players will not go because they're participating in the playoffs. So when you don't see Sidney Crosby for Canada, but you do see Patrick Kane for the United States for sure, but it doesn't represent all the best players. Were in the Olympics when the NHL players went, most, if not all of them, did go. So that's probably why it doesn't have the same cachet. Mario says, hey, Dom, which storyline is better in the finals? David Backus returning to St. Louis or Joe Thornton back to Boston? Thanks. No, it's going to be Thornton. No offense to David Backus. Very good player. But Joe Thornton's a Hall of Famer. That trade from Boston to San Jose was an epic deal, and I think it involved five players at the time. So no. Joe Thornton's return to Boston would be much bigger than David Backus. But we've got a lot of work to do before we can get there. And Forever TH says, in your opinion, who in your opinion was the best captain in NHL history? Lots of people say Messier, but I have to say Yzerman. Now, what's interesting about that question, Forever TH, is that Yzerman did no winning early in his career, and it wasn't until later in his career when the Wings finally started getting a goaltender like Mike Vernon and then eventually Dominic Hasek that they start winning. And then Messier's winning seemed to come early in his career, but if you don't remember, the last 7 years of Messier's career, he missed the playoffs. Right? So he was a great captain, but he spent 7 years between the Rangers and the Canucks missing the playoffs. So everybody just considers Messier because of the six cups and slaying the dragon with the Rangers. But there's a lot of other great captains. I thought Scott Stevens was a great captain. I think Jonathan Toews right now with the Chicago Blackhawks has been an amazing captain, winner of three Stanley Cups. There's been a lot of great leaders for sure. But I think Yzerman deserves a lot of credit. But if you ask a lot of people, especially here in New York, you can forget about it. It's definitely going to be Mark Messier. And Pucks for Pug says, Mount Rushmore of broadcasters, no particular order, Doc Emmerich, Foster Hewitt, Bob Cole, and Jim Houston. Jim Houston is a great example for sure. A guy that I really respect and like. I need to see more. I mean, he's been doing it now for years, obviously, but not to the level of Bob Cole, Doc Emmerich, and even, you know, maybe more than, I guess if you got Gary Thorne here, you can throw Jim Houston in. I'm sure a lot of people in Canada would say that. Terrific voice. He also voiced the play-by-play for some of the EA NHL video games, which is great. Great guy for sure. Does a terrific job. So I can't argue with that list at all. And of course, we all missed out on Foster Hewitt, but he is the father of play-by-play in the National Hockey League. So he is a great example as well. And Courtney finally chimes in, getting back to our Courtney-Tom discussion. Right now we're just friends, but we'll keep you posted. But the more important question is, Don, how do you look in purple? So I guess if you decide to get married at some point, you've already eyeballed the possibility of your bridesmaid wearing purple. And if you were to ask me, if you didn't mind having a bearded bridesmaid, I'd be more than happy to do that. But let's not get ahead of ourselves, Courtney. I don't want to rush you guys to the aisle just yet, but I'm just so proud that actual listeners of Game Misconduct have been able to connect. All right, great job as usual, guys, for your contributions. We'll be back again tomorrow. We'll either be previewing a Game 7 on Thursday or congratulating the St. Louis Blues on advancing to the Stanley Cup Final for the first time since 1970. You know the way to get in touch with me, at Don LaGreca, hashtag Game Misconduct. Back with you again tomorrow. This was the Tuesday edition of the show.
Thanks for listening to the Game Misconduct Podcast. Looking for more Don LaGreca? Hear him on the Michael K. Show weekdays from 3 to 7 p.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York. And worldwide on the ESPN app. And don't forget to subscribe to the Game Misconduct Podcast on the ESPN app, Google Play Music, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.